Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1 and 15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think that y'all say you can't do this, you can't dress, and you can't do certain things. You don't matter how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. Got to obey the word of God. This salvation in Acts 2:38 is not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into. Just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Hi, welcome to another episode of Kingdom of God Ministries. We're so glad that you could join us. Tonight we will be teaching on Are You Naked and Afraid? Let me give you the call-in number. If you should want to call in for prayer or you have a question or comment, feel free to do so. Our guest call-in number is 646-668-8633. Again, our guest call-in number is 646-668-8633. Again, as I said, our message topic tonight is, are you naked and afraid? And we like to present a question to you. I know we have a television show going on, Naked and Afraid, but we want to know, are you naked and afraid? So before we start our program, we want to just open up with prayer. Father God, we just want to thank you for another day. We thank you for just blessing us and giving us this platform so we could come to your people and present the unadulterated word. Lord God, we ask that you take out anything that's in us that's not like you, Lord God, because we want to lift you up and not we ourselves. And we just pray for our listening audience. We ask that you touch the hearts, touch the minds, where they will have a desire and a urgency, Lord, in their walk with you. Time out for plan. Let them become urgent in seeking your face. We're in the last days, and things are happening all around, chaos and confusion and strife. We see it everywhere. So, Lord God, we ask that right now you touch the hearts of the people, where there will be a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Lord God, we have so much going on nowadays in the churches where the people are not just getting the true word. So, Lord God, we ask right now in Jesus' name that you touch them, touch us as we go and do your work, Lord God. Strengthen us, equip us, help us to do what you called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I just wanted to open up with prayer. Again, I'll give you the call-in number. Line is 646-668-8633. Our subject tonight is Are You Naked and Afraid? We're coming to you out of the book of Genesis. In Genesis 3 and 1, before that, I want to give you our announcements. We will be launching our live services in the Waleska, Georgia area every Saturday at 6:30 to 8:30. So if you're in the Georgia area and you want to drop by, drop by. It's not just going to be a radio promotion, but we will be doing deliverance. We will be doing healing, salvation, whatever you need, whichever way God wants to use you or move. Hey, we invite you to come. And we're calling all everyone who have a desire to worship God, but you were stifled in a religious setting where you couldn't move forth, but you know there's a calling on your life, join us. We'll be happy to have you. We need singers. We need praise worshipers. We need everyone. So we don't turn away no one, and we're not hooked up on color or creed or background. We just want you to know Jesus. That's our basis. Because in the kingdom of God, there's not going to be any color. You're not going to have any denominations. You're not going to be caught up on all that. That doesn't even matter. We're going to be caught up with Jesus Christ. And the only way you're going to be caught up with Jesus Christ is if you know Jesus Christ. Amen? So I'm coming to you out of Genesis 3 and 1. And it says, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And let's go on to 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Genesis 3:3. And the woman said, Genesis 3:3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Sounds just like the devil, don't it? Mm-hmm. When God tell you something, he's going to always come back with a rebuttal. Well, God didn't really say that. I mean, he tried to tempt Jesus in the wilderness. And Jesus will come back with him with the word of God. It is written. Genesis 3:5, for God doth know, this is what the enemy said. He said, for God doth know that the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Everybody nowadays is seeking after some kind of hidden knowledge. And if you notice in some of these postmodernistic religions and theosophy, everybody is seeking some kind of hidden, you know, knowledge. But everything you need is in the Word of God. And we're not against education. We have education here. We've been to school. We're not knocking that kind of man-made education. But that education shouldn't exalt itself above the knowledge of God. And when Paul became converted, he said he counted all his education and all his theological teachings as dumb, which is, you know, doodle. So this is how we should look at it. It shouldn't over exceed the wisdom of God. Now 3:6 says that when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, I want you to observe some. Observe the steps of the transgression here, okay? Not steps upwards. This is what sin does. That's why when you're naked, sin don't never lead you upward. It may temporarily, you think you've gone upward, but there's consequences to your action. The steps not leading upward, but downward toward the pit. That's where sin will lead you. Number one, the first thing she saw. The devil always presents you with something to capture your eyes. And that's what he does. He'll show you the bait. You look at the bait like any fish, and it's glaring and it's beautiful, whether it's a man, woman, lust, riches, materialism. He always gives you that bait. So it says she saw. That was the first downward spiral. A great deal of sin comes with the eye. That's why he said, you pluck it out. If it's going to cause you to sin, pluck it out. Let us not look on that which we are in danger of lusting after. That's in Matthew 5:28. She took it. That's the second thing. It was to her own act and deed. Satan may tempt, but he cannot force. You notice that? He'll put the bait out there, but he can't force you to take it. You take it off your own free will. That's why James say when you are falling into temptations, you can't say God did it. Satan will put it out there. He'll dangle it in front of your face. Your lust is what caused you to turn and go after it. Not because of God, but it's your own lust. Satan may tempt, but he cannot force. He may persuade us to cast ourselves down, but he cannot cast us down. You see what I'm saying? We give too much authority to the enemy. And part of it, the reason you be falling down is because part of you want to do it anyway, that flesh. So you can't say, well, God caused me to sin. No, God didn't do it. You caused yourself to sin because you started looking at the things the enemy had to offer. You started looking back out in the world. And that was the second downward spiral. Okay? Number three. Then she did eat. When she looked, perhaps she did not intend to take it. Or when she took, not to eat. So she was curious. So you can't play with the devil. You can't be curious to play with the devil and say, well, I'm going to just go out here and see what they're doing. Or, you know, I'm just curious how they shoot up, you know, how make you feel or how the clubs will make you feel. I'm curious. I'm curious how it would feel to maybe sleep around on my spouse or my wife. I'm just curious. I'm not going to do anything, but I'm just curious. When she looked, perhaps she did not intend to take, or when she took, not to eat. But it ended in that. A little leaven is the whole lump. You can't take a little piece of sin and think that is a safe place, because eventually it will grow and it will grow and it will grow. Okay? Let's go on. She gave it also to her husband. See? First she saw it, then she took it, observed it, then she took it to her husband. Excuse me. That's what sin does. You notice when someone is caught up in sin, they always try to get you to participate in their sin? That's to justify what they're doing. So they'll tell you, let's say, for instance, if you're not a drinker, or God delivered you from drinking, and you go around, let's say your relatives or something, first thing they'll tell you, drinking ain't no sin. Yeah, but if God delivered you from having an alcoholic spirit, why would you be why would you get yourself enticed or get in that situation where it can tempt you to fall back over into alcoholism? Same thing with lust. If you were a stripper, God delivered you from stripping, why would you still be going to the strip club? I don't understand, because I see a lot of Christians try to flirt with sin. God deliver them out of something, and they find themselves going right back to what he delivered you from. If you're weak to that, stay away. Amen? So when she ate, then she took it to her husband. Those that have done ill are willing to draw in others to do the same thing. They're not just content that they sinned, but they got to try to pull other people's in. He did eat, and then neglecting the tree of life of which he was allowed to eat. So God had offered them life more abundantly. And this is what sin does. God has given you life more abundantly. But you start looking over there at the enemy to see what the world has to offer. All the world can offer you is damnation, hell, a lifestyle of woe. You know, why would you forfeit your eternal life to go after hell, death, destruction? That don't even compute. It's not even logical. So when she took it to her husband, he did eat. He neglected the tree of life, of which he was allowed to eat. God was letting him allowed to eat that. And eating of the tree of knowledge, which was forbidden. God just told him, just don't eat of the tree of knowledge. Adam plainly showed a contempt of what God had bestowed on him and desire for what God did not see fit to give him. He would have what he pleased and do what he pleased. In the garden, his sin was, in one word, disobedience. He was disobedient. Those of you, you know the way of holiness. You once were saved. You live in contrary to what God has called you to do. You are walking in disobedience. And disobedience leads to destruction. You need to make it right. You need to get back with God. Amen. Romans 5:19 say disobedience to a plain, easy, and express command. He had no corrupt nature within to betray him, but had a freedom of will and full strength, not weakened or impaired. He turned aside quickly. He drew all his posterity into sin and ruin. Who then can say that Adam's sin had but little harm? When too late, Adam and Eve saw the folly of eating the forbidden fruit. That's what the devil will do. He will give you the fruit, the forbidden sin, and after you fall into the temptation, then you realize, wow, I messed up. Wow, why did I go that way? Wow. That's what the devil will do. They saw the happiness they fell from. Satan always present that to you. Well, you was once this. You had a, let's talk about the men or women who, find another love outside of their marriage. And the devil gonna show them, you once had a good husband or a good wife, but this is what you got now. You know, there is no happiness in sin. Like I say, it may seem pleasurable for a season, but the end result is damnation and destruction. You can't continue in sin and say that you're happy and everything is going well, because, you know, one day you're going to pay the piper. Amen? So let's go on, because I'm going to wrap it up. I got about 10 minutes. God, and it said the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked, and and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, why would they have to make themselves some clothes when God had already clothed them in his righteousness before they fell to sin? It say in 3 and 8, it said, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden. Or we could say they were walking in the garden, and they heard God in the cool of the day. And God said to them, they tried to hide themselves from the presence of the Lord. Do you know when someone is trying to. They were once in the fold. The main thing they don't want to do is come to church. Or they don't want to be around Christians. They'll hide themselves. Look, I'm not the judge. It's the Spirit of God that you're trying to hide from. And this is what they did. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? God already knew where they was, but he wanted them to answer for themselves. And I'm proposing this to you. Where art thou? You were once in the garden. You were once in partakers of the things of God. What happened? Where are you right now? Where's your life going? Is it spiraling downhill? Where art thou? Let's observe the startling question. Adam, where art thou? Those who by sin go astray from God should seriously consider where they are. They are far off from God in the midst of their enemies, in bondage to Satan, and in high road to utter ruin. And the saddest thing is when you have loved ones and you see how the enemy has just bound them up, and they're so bound up. And you can offer them life, but they reject the life. And they go after, what he said, the knowledge of the world. But you see how bound up they are. And God is saying, look, I can give you life more abundantly. Will you just eat from this tree? Will you eat the fruit of righteousness off this tree? Why are you looking to what the enemy has for you? He doesn't have anything for you but damnation and destruction. I give you life and that more abundantly. But yet, you see people walk away from eternal life and seek after the things of the enemy. In the midst of their enemies in bondage, Satan, in the high road to utter ruin, this is what the devil do. The lost sheep had wandered without end. If the good shepherd had not sought after him and told him that there were that where he was straying, he could not be either happy or easy. If sinners will but consider where they are, they will not rest till they return to God. Consider thy ways. It is a common fault and folly of those that have done ill. When questioned about it, to not acknowledge only that which is to manifest, they cannot deny it. Like Adam, we have no reason to be afraid of approaching to God. If we are not covered and clothed with righteousness of Christ, sin appears most plainly in the glass of the commandment. Therefore, God set it before Adam, and in it we should see our faces. God is always extending his hand up to you for you to turn from your ways. Repent. God is right there for you. But you have to make the first initial step. When God say, Adam, where art thou? Adam, he was reaching out to Adam then. Don't make the mistake of turning your back toward God. Amen? So that's why he said, where art thou? Those who are willing to take the pleasure and profit of sin are backward to take the blame and shame of it. So Satan, the temptations are all beguiling. His arguments are all deceits. His allurements are all cheats. When he speaks fair, believe him not, because he's a liar. The Bible says he was a liar from the beginning. It is by his deceitfulness of sin, the heart is hard. That's Romans 7 and 11, Hebrews 3 and 13. But through Satan subtly, he may draw us into sin, yet will not justify us in sin. Though he is the tempter, we are the sinners. So he put it out there, but when it boils down and you bite the bait, you're the sinner. Let it not lessen our sorrow for sin, that we are beguiled into it, but let it increase our self-indignation, that we should suffer ourselves to be deceived by a known cheat. Amen. He is a sworn enemy who would destroy our very souls. And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to destroy, especially when you know you partook of the fruit. You know what salvation is. You was once walking in holiness. The devil is quick to want to take you out because he don't want you to make it back to God. Amen? So with that, I just wanted to leave that with you. And I'll close it with this statement here. And this is what he said to the servant, serpent, 3:13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. That's how sin does. You always want to blame somebody else for your own action. 3:14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. So that's what I want to leave with you. So if you know that we're continually praying, we have loved ones too, that if we could give them salvation, we would, but they have to cry out to God. God don't want to see, beloved, no one bound up, burdened down. He doesn't want to see the enemy just consuming you. So why don't you reach out to him today, beloved, for you will be clothed in righteousness and not clothed in the unrighteousness and sin. With that, I'm going to yield the floor over to my husband, and he's going to come as the Lord give him. Let's say amen for him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to thank God for that word coming from Advantage Montgomery, and we're talking about, are you naked and afraid? Now, it was brought out in Genesis of what happened in the garden, but I want to bring out somewhat that word naked and afraid. Now, many times when we think of naked, we think of someone who is without clothing or without adequate clothing, or not the right kind of clothing, physical clothing. That's would be what we would think of in reference to naked. Now, that is in this natural realm, in the realm that we are familiar with when we say naked. When we say naked, we think of somebody with no clothes on, or inadequate clothes, or clothes not befitting a particular situation. But when you get into the spiritual realm, the biblical meaning of the word naked means to be without truths. It signifies being without truths. And so you see, it goes right back to the garden. So Satan was presenting a lie to Adam and Eve. And after they received that lie and acted on it, then they became naked. So how did they become naked? They became naked because they were adhering to something that wasn't true. God had given them a statement. He had told them what not to do. He told them the consequences of their actions, and that was the truth. Satan came back on that word of God and lied and twisted it. And after he twisted it and perverted it, then Adam and Eve became naked, and God knew they were naked because he knew that they were operating in a lie. Okay, I wanted to bring that out. Now, we have various scriptures in reference to that, and anytime you come up on the word naked in scripture, spiritually, it means just what I said. Someone who is void of truth, somebody who is without truth, and that's what we were talking about now. Are you naked and afraid? Are you without truth and afraid? Are you going under some type of false doctrine? Are you believing and trusting in something other than the word of God in reference to your salvation, in reference to your connection to God, in reference to your, in reference to what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross? Are you believing something other than what God said? It goes all the way back to Genesis. Are you believing something that God has not said? and God has not proven, all right, you may not have any clothes on. You might not be clothed in the righteousness of God, and that's what Adam and Eve was clothed in. Even though they didn't have any clothing as far as clothing made out of cotton or silk or something like that, they were clothed in the righteousness of God. That's why God told them, "Who told you you were naked?" They weren't naked when Satan brought that lie to them. They became naked after they received the lie. Why? As I said previously, because they believed the lie. Now, I'm going to get into some scripture and bring out some scriptures, and then I'm going to bring out some more aspects of, are you naked and afraid? Now, a lot of times when you're naked, you need to be afraid, because when God clothed us and he gave them the animal skins, you have to remember that Adam and Eve, what they put on themselves at first were fig leaves. God said, no, that wouldn't be adequate. And then he provided for them skins. And those skins really was a representation of what God was getting ready to do for them, and what God had already done for them in procuring their salvation through his son, Jesus Christ, the Word of God incarnate, that was representing that was going to happen thousands of years in their future. And it happened. And so we can be clothed even now in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But I'm going to get into some word, the word of the Lord right now. And it reads like this, Nahum 3:5, and this is the God's Word translation. Now, everything I'm bringing to you is going to involve some type of nakedness on the people or Israel, the people of Israel, the Israelite people. Because as you remember, Israel or Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, was the people that God had chosen, that people that God had dealt with. So they recognized the true and living God, because God revealed himself to them. He chose those people. He chose them. And the word of God said he chose them. They didn't choose him. He chose them, which is miraculous in itself. But we're going to get into that. It says, Nahum 3:5, I'm against you, Nineveh, declares the Lord of armies. I will lift up your dress over your face. I will show nations your naked body and kingdoms your disgrace. That's amazing. He said he's going to show their nakedness to the world. Why was he doing that? Well, for one reason he was doing that is because they were steeped in idolatry. They worshiped false gods, and they put that worship on other people. And also they attacked the nation of Israel and brought them under subjection. And Israel was also worshiping those false gods. But God said he was going to disgrace them. He said he was going to lift up their dress over their face. He was going to do that. And he was going to show the world their disgrace. Now, let's go to Ezekiel 16:7, 8, and 22. Now, this goes back to the development and to the creation of the nation of Israel, in which God did. It says in Ezekiel 16:7, I made you grow like a plant in the field. You grew up, matured, and become a young woman. Your breasts developed and your hair grew, yet you were naked and bare. In other words, they didn't know the truth. They didn't know the truth. They had just come out of Egypt, and they had a vague recollection of truth and righteousness in God. Yet you were naked and bare. I went by you again and looked at you. You hear that? I went by you again and looked at you. You were old enough to make love to, so I spread my robe over you and covered your naked body. I promised to love you, and I exchanged marriage vows with you You became mine, declares the Almighty Lord. Then it's going to drop all the way down to verse 22, and it says this: with all the disgusting things that you did and all your acts of prostitution, but she was supposed to be married to the Lord, the Lord had married her. You didn't remember the time when you were young. You didn't remember when you were naked and bare, kicking around in your own blood. In other words, when God first came upon Israel, they weren't a nation. No other people wanted them. They were just out there in the wilderness like an aborted child, not being taken care of by anyone. And God came on the scene while she was naked and afraid, and took her and made someone out of her. And she rewarded him by running after other nations, by running after other gods,
prostitute.
Being a prostitute and acting like a prostitute. So they forgot everything that God did for them.
Hmm.
Now in Ezekiel 18:5-7, it says, suppose a righteous person does what is fair and right. He doesn't oppress anyone. He returns what a borrower gives him as security for a loan. He doesn't rob anyone. He gives food to people who are hungry, and he gives clothes to those who are naked. Now, one thing I want to bring out about this nakedness, as I said earlier, nakedness is an indication of going away from the truth. I say it again. Nakedness, according to the word of God, according to the spiritual definition of nakedness, nakedness is an indication of someone who has no truth in them, or has gone away from the truth, or without truth. Jesus said he is what? The way, the truth, and
the life.
So if you're not in Christ, if you know nothing about Christ, you don't know anything about truth. Remember what what Pilate asked the Lord. He said, what is truth? When Jesus told him he was the truth, he said, well, what is that? Pilate said, well, what is truth? Jesus said, I am the truth. I am truth. Because Jesus Christ is the incarnate word of God. And the word of God will not lie. There's no lie in God. There's no lie in Christ Jesus. He tells the truth all the time. You see, there's no nakedness in him. And so when we are in Jesus Christ, hallelujah, and when we are in God, then we're not naked. Because we are living in the truth of God's word. We are living in the truth of the Spirit. We are living in the truth of Jehovah God, Yahweh. The question is, the subject is, are you naked and afraid? And now, as my wife said earlier, Evangelist Montgomery, there are programs out, Naked and Afraid. You got something out called Naked Dating. Yeah, they got that out there now, you know.
Naked Truth.
You know, Naked Truth, all of that. But if you're dwelling in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you're not naked. But they got all this stuff on television, and it's deceiving people because it's not pointing them to the truth of Jesus Christ. It pointed them to perversion. And I'll get into some more things, but let me go through these scriptures right here. It says, this is Hosea 2 and 2-3. And it says, so call your brothers Ammi, my people, and call your sisters Ruhama, love. Plead with your mother, plead with her. She no longer acts like my wife. She no longer treats me like her husband. Tell her to stop acting like a prostitute. Tell her to remove the lovers from between her breasts. If she refuses, I will strip her. I will leave her as naked as the day she was born. I will turn her into a dry and barren land, and she will die of thirst. That word is, again, naked. She's going from the truth of Jesus Christ. She's going away from God. You don't have to be naked out there. You can be clothed in the righteousness of God. You can be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, but you have to accept our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Savior. Mm-hmm. You have to. You have to believe that he is the Son of God, and that you have to believe that God has raised him from the dead, and the scripture says you'll be saved. Then you'll be clothed in the righteousness of God. You don't have to be out there naked, and the enemy is lying to you and destroying you. Now, let me bring out some other things here. It says here, Isaiah 58 and 7 says, share your food with the hungry, take the poor and homeless into your house, and cover them and cover them with clothes when you see them naked. Don't refuse to help your relatives. If they're naked, you tell them the truth. If they're void of the things of God, we as the people of God have to share the truth of God with individuals so that they can be clothed in the righteousness of God. We have to tell the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they can be spiritually clothed. Clothed in what? Clothed in the righteousness of God. Clothed with the word of God. Clothed with the spirit of the living God. Clothed with God. And the only way that can be achieved is by and through the word of God and by and through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to go to Matthew 25, 36 and 43. It says, I needed clothes and you gave me something to wear. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. You see that? People out there need clothes. They need the clothing of the word of God. They need to be, covered in the truth. They need to be told the truth in reference to God, in reference to Christ. They need the unadulterated word of God so that they can be naked and have on the full armor of Jesus Christ. And then it says, I was a stranger and you didn't take me into your house. I needed clothes and you didn't give me anything to wear. I was sick and in prison and you didn't take care of me. Now, one aspect of the scripture says it was a king who was like that. This man was of royal birth, but nobody took care of him. And that's what he said. In other words, if you got somebody out there that's wanting the truth, they want to go the right way, and you don't tell them the truth, then God is going to hold you for that. He's going to deal with you on that. So we got to be straightforward with people. We have to be straightforward with the word of God. We cannot twist. We cannot pervert. We cannot do any of those things when it comes to the word of God, because when you do that, you step into the same avenue or realm that Satan was in. Satan twisted the word. Satan lied and turned people away, caused Adam and Eve to be naked when they weren't. Because he twisted the word and he lied. We can't do that. Look at this. In Revelation 3 and 17, he said, you say I'm rich, I'm wealthy, I don't need anything. Yet you do not realize that you are miserable, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. The same thing. I advise you, buy gold purified in fire from me so that you may be rich. Buy white clothes from me, wear them so that you may keep your shameful naked body from showing. Buy ointment to put on your eyes so that you may see. Now, he mentioned naked twice in Revelation 3 and 17. They were blind to the truth. They were believing lies. They didn't have the truth of God in them the way they should have. And God addressed them on that. Now I'm going to go to some other aspects of this nakedness and truth. I want to bring out something here. It says here, I already brought out that nakedness or being naked signifies to be without truth. It's all through scripture. But it said to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, right, because thou sayest, and I just read that, but it said naked denotes penury of truth. It said the Lord Jesus said you got to buy the gold purified in the fire from him. All right. It says, so that the shame of your nakedness, it says, denotes being without goods and without truths. Mm-hmm. To buy is to procure and to appropriate to oneself. It says gold is celestial and spiritual good. And the garments are truth. Did you hear that? The garments are truth. White is predicated of truth because from the light of heaven. And then it says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garment, lest he walk naked. He keeps his garment. Okay. He keeps his garments, and therefore he keeps the truth. Because if he don't keep the truth, his nakedness would be exposed. Now, one thing about this nakedness is most of the time this nakedness here, God, it is exposed to God because in this natural realm, you can kind of cover it up a little bit because people don't know your heart. But God knows your heart, so he knows where you are. There's a few other things I want to bring out here. It says here, it says, naked denotes the good who acknowledge that there is nothing of good and truth in themselves, you see? In yourself, there's only nakedness. Because in yourself, there is no real truth. Because there's no real God, there's no real, spirit life in you unless you accept God, unless you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's nothing there. The law says we are as filthy rags. Unless, yes, we have a call of 5206, unless we have a call, unless you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now we're going to come and bring out a few more things, and then we'll be getting ready to close out. We have our call-in number is 646-668-8633. We have 12 minutes left on the program. If anyone desires to call in with a question or a statement, you may feel free to call in at 646-668-8633. Amen. We have 12 minutes left, so you can call in and if you so desire. Now, we're still talking about are you naked and afraid? It says here, if a just man who has done judgment and justice give his bread to the hungry and cover the naked with a garment, Ezekiel 18:5-7, it says, to cover the naked with a garment denotes to instruct in truth those who desire them. So if somebody desires the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to clothe them with that. We need to cover their nakedness of the lack of truth that they have. Now, it says, stripping naked denotes to deprive of truth. You see what I'm saying? And that's what we're talking about. Are you naked and afraid? Well, you're probably absent of the truth of God, and you should be afraid. Because it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. All right? So I will show the nations thy nakedness and the kingdom thy shame, Nahum 3:5. Showing the nations the nakedness denotes to show the ugliness, want of truth, and our beauty is from truth. So we just wanted to bring that out a little bit. We were talking about are you naked and afraid, and we brought out the meaning of the word naked in reference to this natural life and in reference to the spiritual life. So many times when you I want you to realize that when the scripture talks about nakedness, it is not just talking about the absence of physical clothing. What it is talking about in reality is the absence of the word of God or the absence of the truth from God. We know that there is truth in reference to man's aspect of truth, and we know what a lie is, in reference to man's concept of lying. But we want to get into the realm and the aspect of what God is talking about in reference to nakedness, in reference to truth, and in reference to lies, in reference to clothing, in reference to how you carry yourself. So we wanted to bring this out. Are you naked and afraid? If you have any questions in reference to that, we have a few more minutes left in the program. You may call and ask your question or give an opinion, and we'll go from there. We have 9 minutes left on the program, and we are getting ready to close it out. Any questions? All right. One thing I would like to say in reference to, we're getting ready to close out in a few minutes, but we are going into our new establishment. We're going into a new building in October. We will be having our services on Saturdays, on every Saturday in October at 9110 Fincher Road in Waleska. And anyone who have a desire to come out and worship with us, come on out. We welcome you. Any one of you who wants to desire to be with us, we will be there worshiping the Lord at 9010 Fincher Road in Waleska. So feel free to come out. We welcome you. But anyway, our subject, are you naked and afraid? What are you afraid of? You can clothe yourself in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can receive the truth of the word of God, which is the only real truth on the face of the earth. Now, there are many different kinds of truths, but there is only one real truth, and that real truth is God. That real truth is Jesus Christ. That real truth is the Holy Spirit. That real truth is the Word of God that will take care of your every need, and it will cover you with righteousness for your body, soul, and spirit. So, reference to that, we are closing out at this time. I'm going to close out with prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank you for everyone who listened on tonight. Father God, we ask that you touch them. Give them the revelation of your word. Father God, if they are naked and afraid, let them be clothed in your righteousness. Let them be clothed in your word. Father, we ask right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that you take the fear from them, Lord. Take the fear from them, Lord, and strengthen them with boldness, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Right now, Father God, we come against every spirit of oppression, every spirit of depression, and Father God, anyone who is possessed, we come against that possession right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and we command those foul, unclean spirits to loose God's people. Right now, by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, Father God, we ask right now that you give them revelation of your word. Let the word come alive more and more in them, Father, in Jesus' name. Father God, is there anyone that is infirmed or have any type of sickness and disease? Father God, we speak healing and deliverance to them right now. By the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen. And we look forward to you all coming back to listen to us again. Next week we have our program every Saturday at 7:30. And as I said before, we will be meeting on the 9058 Fincher Road in Waleska, Georgia. We look forward to seeing you, and we look forward to meeting you again next week. Be blessed and goodbye.